Welcome to Comic Culture. I didn't know where to come in there. Yeah, the radio show, The Champions, the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, the award-winning website. No, it's not. It's not an award.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That doesn't do anything.
No. And podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I'm Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor. Oh, award-winning Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen.
Award-winning.
I'm not saying at what, but at something.
Well, you are an award
but winner. I'm an award winner, and I do teach at Mohawk College.
Chris, you know when I was small, grade seven.
A little wee lad.
Yeah, grade seven, I think. So I would have been, 12, right?
Okay.
No, 11, I think, because I skipped a grade. So
you skipped a grade?
Yeah.
It's almost like you're smart or something.
Yeah, almost. No, I have to change my story totally because it's about award winning.
Oh, boy.
Grade 8, I went to Camp Wanakita.
Oh, yeah, I went to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I won the Camper of the Week Award.
Camper of the Week Award.
Right.
You did.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, how
yeah,
about
I know.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's pretty exciting.
I won an award for best beard in grade 12.
Nice,
yeah,
best
yeah,
beard
yeah,
in grade
yeah,
12.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. I knew a guy named Randy.
Randy.
Yeah, in grade 8, he won best beer gut.
Best beer gut
in grade,
in grade 8? Come
yeah,
on.
That was impressive.
But, yeah. Hey, yeah, you know what? We should probably talk about comic books.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris and I gather here every week to brag about our awards.
And our beer guts.
And our beer guts. And talk comic books. And like we do every week, we're going to start the show with New This Week.
Yes.
And New This Week is brought to us by, oh my goodness, let me get the sponsor out here. Cowbell Club Soda Company.
Nice.
Cowbell Club Soda from Huron County is the official club soda of Christmas.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah, Santa swears by it.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I think he swears at it, actually.
I think he swears after he's had it.
Uh-huh.
All right, listen, let's, as Walt said, we do like to talk about new comics this week, so let's start off. And the first one I want to talk about this week is DC's Nuclear Winter Special. Now, you might be asking yourself, what the heck is a DC Nuclear Winter Special?
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Oh, you know what I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah. It's, well, basically, it's kind of like, it's almost like they're trying to not say a Christmas special, but they're talking about all the different kinds of, like, wintry kind of, yeah, things that can happen. It's
during
like little
the festive
stories.
Season?
Well, like it's like okay, there's we got yeah, they're all like festive type things, you know. Like what do you got here? Commandy is in a story called Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Firestorm is in a story called Last Christmas by Paul Dini and Jerry Ordway. Batman is in a story called Warmth. You know,
Warmth.
Supergirl is in a story called Last Daughters. You know, Green Arrow is in the Birds of Christmas Past, Present, and Future. Sorry, the Birds of Christmas Past, Present, and Future. You know, so it's all Christmassy, but with like a little bit of a, I don't know, darker take on it, I guess. But man, it's a great cover by Yannick Paquette.
Let me have a look, see there, Chris. Yeah, you know what? That is a good looking book right there.
Now, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
If, you know, I would have thought that a book like this with a $10 price tag would be prohibitive to people buying it. But
prohibitive.
Prohibitive. Uh-huh. But you know what? We did not see that. The last $10 book that came out that was similar to this was the Halloween one. And it was, I believe it was called DC's Comic Cavalcade of Horror. And that's the one we had Batman. It's like a horror cover. And that one sold out. And it's now selling on eBay for like $25.
Look out.
So you know what? I don't think that a book like this, despite its $10 price tag, is going to prevent people from buying it.
Right. If it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And
it's
they'll
good
buy
stuff.
It. It is beefy. It is thick. It is meaty.
Yes.
I'm talking about the comic book.
Here. Absolutely, yes. Not the drink that you're drinking.
No, not the drink that I'm drinking. This fine club soda from Huron County. Nuclear Winter Special number one. is at your local comic book shop.
All right. And the other book I really want to talk about, and this is one of my probably my favorite storyline that's going on in comic books right now, and that is DC's Hero in Crisis.
Hero in Crisis.
Heroes in Crisis. Heroes in Crisis. This is all about that sanctuary. There was a murder mystery going on. A whole bunch of people were killed at the sanctuary.
Oh.
Do you know anything about, do you know what I'm talking about? You look like you. Yeah, right. Sure, yes. So lots of cool stuff. And one of the many things I like about this story, or I should say about this book, is they've done these sort of cool covers that are recreating moments in DC's history where something bad has happened. So, for example, the death of Superman,
right.
When Batman had his back broken. This right. one is when Wonder Woman killed Maxwell Lord. So there's all kinds of... They do, but they do it in a sort of a more of a forensic style, you know, with as if it's like a Polaroid take-in and that kind of thing. Really cool book.
Remember that that really bad thing that happened? Remember to Robin? Remember that one where Batman got married?
Yeah.
And Robin's there, well, what do I do now?
I don't think that was the same kind of thing that's...
To you and me, maybe.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. But, how about poor Robin?
Hey, but you know, in all seriousness, do you remember that cover for Jimmy Olsen where Superman made him marry the gorilla?
The gorilla, yeah.
But I don't want to marry a female King Kong. Sorry, Jimmy. As
chieftain of this tribe.
Tribal witch doctor, I now pronounce you man and gorilla.
Yeah. Maybe they'll reprint those on...
That would be... You know what? That would be awesome.
Heroes in Crisis.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
All right. Listen, Heroes in Crisis... No, Heroes in Crisis.
Yep.
Number 3 of 9. There's going to be a lot of crisis going on.
A lot of crisis.
And
what was going to be, I believe, a 6 or 7 issue miniseries. Now they've extended it to 9.
Right.
So, right. Which I like it because I'm loving the book. So, more the merrier for me.
Wonderful. Hey, it's at your local comic book shop. Chris Owen says it's definitely worth checking out.
All right, next up we've got, here's a book I don't think I've ever talked about it on the air, so I thought, why not today?
Mm-hmm. You know what we do, Chris? We break down barriers.
Break it down.
We delve deep into places we've never went before.
Break it down.
Remember that old Henny Youngman joke?
Which one?
The old Henny Youngman joke where it goes, yeah, my wife says, hey, I want to go somewhere... this on vacation this year, somewhere I've never been before, and he goes, "Try the kitchen."
Oh, I'm not laughing at that.
No,
at all.
You can't say that anymore. I'm highlighting how absurd comedy was 50 years ago. Just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that's like the joke where the woman comes home and says, "Honey, pack your bags. I won the lottery." And he says, "Where to? Florida, Miami, or Florida, Hawaii?" She says, "I don't care where you go. Just get out."
I love that one.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. We're getting
back
a little
to comics.
Back to comics.
Anyway, it is. It's the festive club
festiveness.
Soda.
Festiveness. It's festivus for the rest of us. Exo Manowar. You know, here's the thing about this book.
Here's the thing.
Matt Kent, who's a great writer, and Juan Jose Rip is a great artist. Now, he's a guy that normally works for Avatar, so it's kind of strange to see him doing a more superhero-y kind of book. Because he's done books like, what do you call it, Crossed.
Oh, I don't like that.
And some of the more horror kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, man, he is a fantastic artist. Like, he really is. Like, when you look at his artwork, it's super detailed and it's nice. Yeah. He clearly knows his anatomy. Like, he knows his composition and everything. Great-looking book. Great storyteller, I should
Chris,
say.
Chris, you know what we'll do next week?
What's that?
Because we're not prepared this week, is I'd like to know, I'd like to maybe do a little bit of studying and research and where along the lines exactly Sony is with their whole Valiant universe.
Yeah.
Where are they in terms of production, in terms of what movies got greenlighted, if there's any actors, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm pretty sure. The only thing I know is that I think that Bloodshot is going to be the first one. Mm-hmm. And I think I could be completely off on this, but I thought Vin Diesel was going to be in it, but right. I could be wrong about that. But yeah.
You know how Vin Diesel got Bloodshot? a little too much club soda.
A little too much club soda. All right, listen, next up, we have Black Panther versus Deadpool.
Whoa.
Right? Black Panther versus Deadpool. And I thought this was a pretty cool idea.
Deadpool is to Marvel what an ape was to DC in the 50s.
It's so true. Yeah. He's in pretty much everything, right?
Just throw him on a cover and we'll sell more.
Yeah, so true. But you know what? It's a great... Great artwork, interesting style. It's a little cartoony, but I do like it. The artist is Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. I'm probably butchering that, but
that's fine. Lopez Ortiz.
But I do like the artwork, and I think it's a great concept. Good looking book.
It's a good looking book. Black Panther versus Deadpool. It's up to number 2. It's on fire, and it's at your local comic book shop.
It's on fire. Okay, and finally, the last one I want to talk about today is Amazing Spider-Man number 10. Of course, they rebooted it 10 issues ago. Legacy number 811. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this book in particular is I liked the cover because it's reminiscent of covers that I grew up with.
Where
every once in a while they would have, what do they call it, editor of the month or fill-in editor.
Yeah.
Or they would do something goofy on the cover. And it just reminded you that, hey, this whole comic book stuff is supposed to be fun, right? Like, you know. Anyways, on the cover of Amazing Spider-Man number 10, the variant cover, I believe, is it says, alert, this cover has been stolen. Please send away information on the whereabouts of the cover to spideyoffice@marvel.com. And, of course, it's got, like, crime scene tape all over the place. Oh. And it's just a fun-looking cover, right?
Like it.
Yeah.
Like it. And who's that? Is that the Black Cat?
Black
on the cover?
Cat.
That is wonderful. Hey, that is Amazing Spider-Man number 10. It's at your local comic book shop along with, I'm going to just guess.
A myriad.
Yeah.
Myriad.
Thousands of other new comics that are hitting your local comic book shop today. So we encourage you guys to run in and check out the new this week.
All right. Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about, industry news, comic books. I think we're going to talk about the state of the industry. You got to talk about auctions and all kinds of fun stuff. But first off, let's have this one. Let's do... this one right here.
That's wonderful stuff. Chris, where is that from?
So that one was, that's called the Helicarrier, and that's the when we first see the Helicarrier in the first Avengers movie.
That's right. Hey, that opening piece, that was almost Pink Floyd-y.
Yeah, a little bit, eh? Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I like that.
That was a nice piece, too. All right, Chris, brings us to industry news part of the show, and industry news is brought to us by... They liked their results from our sponsorship.
Did they now?
So much that the Elijah Craig Club Soda Company has come back for another sponsoring industry news. The Elijah Craig Club Soda Company, the Club Soda of Kentucky.
Is it now?
Yeah.
If you got it's a good one.
If you got a 10-gallon hat and a fiddle, all you need is Elijah Craig Club Soda and you're in. All right.
All right. Listen, hey, before we talk about anything else, I do want to talk about this San Diego Comic-Con movement where they're seeking charter memberships.
Hold on. I don't get it.
Okay. So I figured you wouldn't. So San Diego...
Well, the brightest.
Well, no, you're a smart guy.
So basically, there's going to be a
San Diego... The San Diego Comic-Con is going to open up... a Comic-Con museum in San Diego.
A museum about comics or a museum about the Comic-Con?
I believe it's about comics.
Oh.
But probably they're in Comic-Con as well.
Right.
It's called... Well, it's actually called the Comic-Con Museum. Yeah. So it's probably all about the cons, more so than comics, but I would imagine about cons as well.
Right.
So they're asking people to donate. And in donating, they can become a charter member of the Comic Con Museum in San Diego.
And what does that get them?
Well, it's funny you should ask. So there are various tiers.
Tiers. Yeah, there'll be a tier when I send my money over.
Various tiers of the exclusive perks and benefits that you will receive with certain amounts of money that we're.
I want to hear. Give them to me.
Here's the thing. You can upgrade your membership at any time.
I'm sure you can.
Do you want to give more money?
And more tiers.
Tier one is pay what you want. Minimum of $10.
Oh.
Minimum 10
bucks. Right away, they lied.
So you'll be entered into the honor roll of charter members, which will be part of an immortal listing of everyone that becomes part of the museum's origin.
Right.
Entry to a private Facebook group.
Oh.
You'll get exclusive virtual access to live stream programming at the museum. So, they have an interview or something like that. And you'll be informed about special projects throughout the year.
When they need more money.
Correct.
Right. Hey, right. Time to hit you up again.
So that was tier one. Tier two.
Sounds like value.
They get all of the all the perks from tier one.
I would imagine.
In addition, they also get free admission to the Comic-Con Museum for 1 year after opening.
Well, anytime.
Anytime for 1 year after opening. They get a charter member lanyard.
Oh. Wow.
As a thank you and a pin for saying thank you.
Right.
They get to participate in member-only events such as meet and greets and things like that.
Like one-legged races.
That's right. You get to have two single-use guest passes for regular admission to the museum. So should I choose to pay $50, I could bring you and a guest.
Wait a minute. What's the tier two cost?
$50. $50. Okay. Right. And you get a collectible charter membership card.
Oh, wonderful.
Very collectible.
Uh-huh.
And 10% off at the charter, at the discount museum, or sorry, the museum store.
Right.
Tier three. You get everything.
I don't even know if I could fully use tier two. There's so much perks.
You can get that lanyard. You can put it on eBay.
Yeah.
Tier three, it's $100. You get an exclusive first edition members only T-shirt.
Oh,
well, I know. You have four single use guest passes.
Right.
And free admission and other benefits.
I have a feeling the guy that buys the $100 won't be able to use the four.
Get free admission and other benefits at 900 participating arts, cultural, and historical institutions that are part of the NARM, which is the North American Reciprocal Museum Association.
NARM.
Tier four, which is...
Well, wait a minute, Chris.
Sorry, yes?
You're going too fast.
Sorry.
So, let me recap tier three.
Yep.
You get a T-shirt.
Yeah, you get a T-shirt.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yep. And that's the end of that. Tier four, $500.
$500.
$500. You get everything that you get in tier one and two and three.
Wow.
Plus, you get a limited edition Mondo print from 2018 San Diego Comic-Con, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, signed by artist Matt Taylor. Only 1,000 of those exist, so you better hurry on that.
Mm-hmm. That's $500,000 right there.
You get 8 single-use passes.
Wow. Again, that last guy didn't have 4 friends, I guarantee it. If you're giving $500 to this.
And finally, tier 5.
Tier 5.
This is the big one.
This is it.
$1,200 plus. So if you
want anything you want.
Anything
you want to give $12,000, you go
right ahead. Yep. So you get all that stuff that from tiers 1 to 4. You get priority invites to exclusive social and educational events throughout the year. You get to attend the groundbreaking of the museum. So you can maybe give you a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
You get to go to the Comic-Con Museum's inaugural gala in 2019.
Oh, sweet.
pardon me.
You can hobnob.
It's a Hobnom. Yet permanent name recognition.
Yeah, I can imagine just the look on everybody's face looking at each other. You idiot. You idiot. You idiot.
You fell for it too, eh? You get permanent name recognition inside the museum.
Sure will.
And you get 10 single-use guest passes for the admission to the museum.
This is all wonderful. It truly is.
Really is.
It is. It's wonderful. But we don't know what the museum's going to museum.
It's Comic-Con.
Yeah, okay, like what? Like, will they go up to Hugh Jackman? And they go, hey, Hugh, remember that Kenora dinner jacket you wore at that panel in 2007?
Yeah.
Can we have that and hang it?
Hang it on the wall. Better yet, they can have... Here's what they get to do. They can have exclusive, exhibits where it's like you're actually there. So they'll put you in a line and just let you sit there for 8 hours.
Whoa.
Interactive experience.
Yeah, interactive experience.
Can wait in line.
Yeah. No, but you know what? They do it better. They do it better, Chris, because can you imagine? Because you don't want to. What if you want to experience the Stan Lee line?
Yeah, right.
What if you want to experience the Frank Cho line?
That's very true.
So they have a bunch of little lines.
Yes,
with just a name placard at the front.
Oh, I like that. Which
line you're waiting for.
Yep.
And then you just wait.
And you know what they need to do? They can also incorporate, they can have little, but while you're waiting there, they have little stations that have little, like, you know, vaporizers where they put in scents of what it smells like to be at a con. So, I think I'm right next to that.
I think that guy got to lay off the Frito-Lays. My goodness. Oh,
they can have cosplayers there. They could, they can jack up prices for food. So instead of paying $2 for a slice of pizza, you can pay 12, mm-hmm. And a $5 can of pop. So, you can experience a con just like everybody else by going to this museum, but without all the benefits of actually going to a con.
The thing that ticks me off the most is these guys came up with this before I did.
Right?
Yeah. You know?
Right? I know.
So, I don't know, Chris. I don't know. We'll have to revisit this to see how it's going.
We'll see how it's going. Yeah.
So which tier are you going to belong to?
The one that's growing down my cheek.
Nice. Me too.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty cool stuff. Chris, we should review the October numbers for comic books. We are a show about the local comic
books. We are. That's true. We are.
And
so you handed me this page.
Yeah, I handed you a page of the top 20 selling comics.
20 selling comics. Now, normally we've done top 10. This is interesting. You gave me top 20. I like this.
Okay.
So number one, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Not a surprise there.
And number four, Batman.
Mm-hmm. Not a surprise. It's a hot book right now.
Right.
Especially after everything that was going on with the whole wedding and all that kind of stuff. It's not a surprise at all.
Mm-hmm. And then you had Walking Dead at number two, the 15th anniversary issue of Walking Dead, which is kind of cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
106,000 units sold of Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And you know what's great? Well, I had to kind of point this one out because Image, it's nice to see them wedged in. Everything else, of course, is, well, you got Walking Dead, the regular issue 184 at number 18.
Yeah.
But everything else, of course, is Marvel and DC. But even at the number two spot, they held that anniversary issue at the $2.99 price.
Yes.
I like that. I do like that about Image. Yep. It's about, hey, we're going to put this at a price point where as many people can afford it as possible.
Right.
Or where it's still a viable price point for comics. I don't think there's another $2.99 comic in there, Chris.
I think they're all $3.99.
Even the Image, The Walking Dead 184, for some reason, is $3.99.
Yep. So. Well, I think that's the case now. I think books are just $4 now.
So they just maybe put the special on the number one.
Yeah.
I get it. So hold on. I think I might be a little batty. Is that the number one, the 15th anniversary issue? Like
it's
reissue?
It's a, I believe so.
Oh. Okay.
Although I don't know for sure.
Right. Because I don't remember it.
I don't remember it either.
And we might not have ordered heavy on it.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
Oh. No, man. Still nice to see that, but everything else is just so Marvel DC, Marvel DC. Venom, I like seeing Venom in the top 10 only because there wasn't some mass exodus from the property after
it's
movie.
It's true. So we've got Batman, we've got Spider-Man, a lot of Spider-Geddon, Amazing Spider-Man. Venom's nice to see, although it is Spider-Man related.
More Spider-Man. Another Venom.
It was nice to see Heroes in Crisis, which I realize it's a miniseries, but at least it's getting good traction.
Right.
It's still at it's at number 6. Uh-huh. Justice League, which is nice to see, that's at number 8. Return of Wolverine, it's at number 11. To me, it's a wah-wah-wah. I'm so sick of the death of Wolverine, the return of Wolverine, the hunt of Wolverine, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but Chris, it is Wolverine.
I know, but who cares? I'm getting tired of it.
Well, Wolverine. A lot of Wolverine fans care.
I guess. Do they, though? I'm a Wolverine fan, and I don't care.
Well, you just want him back into the regular suit.
But I don't want there to be a series around it. I just want there to be a Wolverine title.
Right.
Right? And, why do you have to make it a big issue? Anyways, I'm wah, wah, wah.
It's the Marvel way.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So what I did...
Chris, go ahead.
What I was going to say one last thing. What I did like seeing here, though, was Catwoman was at issue 4. It was on number 14. Mm-hmm. Catwoman is not traditionally a title that breaks the top 20.
No, it is not.
It is, that's a book they've been trying for a long time now. I think there's two things going for that book.
What's that?
One, Joelle Jones, who does the art.
Right.
And I believe she's doing some of the writing, if not all the writing. Mm-hmm. And two, the variant covers that they're having by Art Germ.
What's an Art Germ?
Art Germ is the Stanley Lau. Stanley, I can't remember his last name.
Stanley Signature Series?
No, his name is Stanley.
Oh, Stanley. Okay.
Stanley, I think it's Lau. I can't remember his last name. But his nickname is Art Germ.
Uh-huh.
And he does those awesome covers where they're super painted, super realistic. They're really nice looking. Okay. I think that's helping out as well. He does the variant covers for that.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Now, if you look, Chris, I remember you and I, every now and then, we would report on these monthly things. And there were a few months, where there wasn't one comic sold at 100,000 units.
Right.
Now, there are three in this one.
Yep.
Mind you, just barely over.
Yeah.
But, the psychological warfare going on here is that they are sustaining sales of over 100,000, and there are three more than one, which in a bleak environment, you kind of grasp onto something relatively positive.
And if I can continue to be bleak for a minute, the only thing I don't like about this is you got the top three which break 100,000, but by the time you get to the 20th one, it's in down to the 50,000.
58.
Like it's not like there's 15 of them are in the 80s or the 90,000s. It drops pretty quick.
Oh, Chris, it's a good thing you pointed that out.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to, because you're a historian.
Well, sure.
You're a comic book historian.
I don't know about historian, but I like to think I know a little bit about comic books.
Hey, Chris, I thought we'd go way back.
Let's go way back, Walt.
50 years back.
Oh, boy.
What was I doing 50 years ago?
Youngster at that time.
50 years ago, Chris. I got the top 20 selling books.
Top 20.
I just mentioned to you that Batman was the biggest selling book this month, last month, sorry, at comic book shops at 107,500 units.
Okay.
And the number 20
was
Batman.
That's
107,500 units.
Yeah.
107.
Yeah.
And the number 20 was Batman Secret Files at 58,000.
Okay, yeah.
Back in 1968, Chris, the number 20th title in terms of sales was Detective Comics.
Am I going to guess the number?
Yeah.
So Detective Comics and the number of sales, not the number. 200,000.
309,000 issues sold of Detective Comics.
Really?
At number 20 back in 1968.
Yeah.
309,000.
And that's the 20th one.
That's the 20th
one. Oh, boy.
Okay. So, they're not... So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Ask me.
And One is, what was the number one selling comic title of 1968?
Oh, boy.
October 1968.
Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man.
Now, here's the interesting thing.
Okay, yeah.
And this is what people, Chris and I are going to paint, or I'm going to, Chris doesn't have a clue what's going on right now.
No, I really don't. Ever.
I'm going to paint a historical perspective on everybody right now, because it's so Marvel skewed right now, right?
Okay.
1968 was pretty well, you can say, 5 years post the Marvel explosion.
Yeah.
Because November 61, FF came out, but really in 62, a couple of sporadic issues came out, like Hulk and Thor and Amazing Fantasy, but even Spidey didn't come out. But in 63, that's when everything kind of hit.
Right,
and Spider-Man and X-Men and Tales of Suspense and Tales, you know, they all started with their comic thing.
Yeah.
So this is 5 years later, basically.
Okay.
And, you know, we read about how popular Marvel is, but these things don't happen overnight.
No.
And 1968, everything was pretty well solidified by then for Marvel. Like they were it.
Yeah.
But I want you to guess how many Marvel titles cracked the top 20.
Okay. Let me see if I can guess the number one first.
Okay.
Do I think it's Amazing Spider-Man?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then we won't do that. How many titles are in the top
20? How many Marvel titles cracked the top 20 top monthly 20. Sales in 50 years ago?
I'm going to say 8.
2.
Get out of here.
2.
Really?
The first one at number 12 and the second one at number 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So even then, Marvel was in its infancy. That's what people don't understand.
Okay,
It was so entrenched, the comic book industry of the past.
Yeah.
That even 5 years in, Marvel was making massive headways, but they still weren't there.
Okay,
they were
so
still fledgling.
I'm going to say that the number one comic, I'm going to see if I can guess this.
Hold on. So at number 12, Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay,
373,000 units.
Yeah.
And at number 16.
I'm going to guess. Let me guess. Fantastic Four.
That's right.
Yeah.
At 344,000.
Crazy.
So
okay.
Roughly
the
same, just Spidey was a little bit ahead.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Okay. And those are the only two Marvels. Now, what was the number one selling comic 50 years
ago? Action Comics.
Action Comics, Chris, was number 8 at 423,000, but you're warm.
Superman.
Yay.
Hey.
636,000 copies.
No kidding,
sold
that month. Wow.
Yeah. Now, the number 2 comic.
That's
then, then I'll stop doing that.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Batman.
He was number 3 at 533,000 issues.
Number 2, Captain Marvel.
How about Archie Comics?
Wow. Really?
566,000
number 2
sales.
Wow.
And I don't want to scare you, but Archie had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 titles
really
in the top 20.
Oh.
Archie Comics. So, Archie, Betty and Veronica, Life with Archie, Laugh Comics, Archie's Pal Jughead, Archie and Me, and Archie's Joke Book all were selling monthly numbers above in between 300 and 500,000.
Wow.
Enough to crack the top 20 list.
Hey, is Richie Rich on there?
It's not. Richie Rich is not on here.
Oh.
Now there is
okay, so hold on. So how many say we get, so there's 7 Archies.
Uh-huh.
You said there was 2 Marvels.
That's 9.
So does that mean that there's 11 DCs?
No, there's 10.
10. Mm. Okay. So I'm going to see if can I guess the I don't even know if I'll,
the anomaly?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think I'll be able to do it.
I know.
In the 68?
68.
Oh, boy. 68.
You're absolutely right. It is Tarzan.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. Get out of here.
From
Tarzan?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Quick rundown, okay? Quick. Superman, Archie, Batman, Superboy, World's Finest, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, Action, Betty Veronica, Adventure, Tarzan, Spidey, Life with Archie, Laugh Comics, Jughead, FF, joke book, Archie's joke book, Archie and Me, Justice League, and Detective.
Wow. Yeah. That is quite the list, let me tell you. Holy cow. I know. I would not have thought that. I would have thought there would have been at least a couple more Marvels, and I thought I would never have guessed in a million years Tarzan.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now. Never, never. Wow, cool stuff. That's cool. All right, let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about stuff. What do you want to listen to here, Walt?
Music.
All right, let's listen to some music then. Let's go with, I don't know. How about...
The loud kind. This kind that makes noise.
This one right here.
That music. Yes, yes, that sounded for sure like a Star Wars thing.
Not even close. Batman. I believe that was the Tim Burton Batman by,
Williams?
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman is, like, the unsung hero of soundtracks. Like, he is up there with, you know, he's no John Williams, but he's good. Like, he's extremely good. He's
hey, kid. You're no John Williams.
I'm just saying. He's very good. He's done a lot of soundtracks you probably wouldn't know, like The Simpsons.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, that brings us to part deux of Industry part News. Part deux? Brought to us by Cowbell Club Soda Brewing. No, Club Soda-ing.
Club Soda-ing?
What do you call when you make club soda? They didn't stipulate.
Club Soda-ing.
Club Soda-ing.
Club Soda.
Effervescencing.
Soda shopping.
Uh-huh. It's the Shindig brand, available only through fine club soda dispensaries.
Dispensaries.
Yes.
Nice.
Chris, you know, you did pretty good on that historical test.
Yeah.
But I thought I had, as I was kind of going through, you know how weird things hit you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
so
yeah, yeah.
A couple days ago, honestly, there's some bad news locally. You know, we record in Southern Ontario, and then we got that bad news that General Motors will be closing down
Oshawa
plant.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, the Oshawa Generals are their hockey team.
Right.
And they're named after General Motors, right?
Are they really?
Well, that's kind of the thing.
I didn't know that. Okay. Well, they've been around for 60 years,
yeah,
so I'm not surprised.
And, that's what I always thought. I'm pretty sure what they were. But so I don't know. You know how your mind works in a weird way. So I was thinking comics, and I go, what comic generals are there? I go, wait a minute. I'm going to ask Chris some military rank questions.
Oh, boy.
So I came up with a few, and I wanted to see how many
generals?
Comic book generals you can come up with. I'm expecting two.
Okay.
Comic book generals for you. Minimum
for sure. I know at least one.
Uh-huh. And that is?
Thunderbolt Ross. General Ross.
General Ross from the Hulk,
from
course.
The Hulk. Yep. Right. General Thunderbolt Ross. General,
I'm going to give you a hint.
Hold on. Wait. Let me just hold on a second here. Let me see if there's anything else here. There was General Lee.
General Lee is a Civil War general.
But he wasn't he in the Haunted Tank in G.I. Combat?
Okay, but that's like a historical figure.
Oh, okay. And then Give me a hint.
Okay, the number one selling comic of 1968.
was Superman. General Zod.
Hey! Chris, you're good at this game. All right. Hey, Chris, how many corporals can you name in comics? Corporals.
Oh, boy. Corporal Punishment? Corporal.
Oh, that's good. That is rich. Corporal Punishment. Oh, this bit's really working.
Corporal?
Chris, I just hate to scare you, but this bit's relying on your wit.
Corporal. Hey, Corporal Punishment? You didn't like that one?
Oh, I loved it.
Corporal Kirshner.
Yeah, Don Kirshner. All right, boys, get the gear out on the stage.
What's that from, even?
Don Kirshner's rock concert.
Oh, right. Corporal...
The Iron Corporal from Charlton Comics.
I don't know who the Iron Corporal is. Okay.
Corporal Collins.
Who's Corporal Collins?
From Bing Bang Comics of the old Canadian whites.
Oh, I haven't read a lot of those lately. Yeah.
Lately. Okay, so...
Okay.
Chris isn't really good with corporals.
Oh, no, okay.
Name me one private.
Private, Benjamin. Goldie Hawn from the movie from 1979 or 1980.
I think I'm ready to move on.
Private.
He led a double life.
Private, Sad Sack. Private
Sad Sack. He did leave a double life. The double life of Private Strong.
Who's Private Strong?
Oh, never mind. I don't want to go on.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
Okay, there's got to be. I know done. There's one category I know done. I'm going to do well on.
Well, I'm going to skip that one.
Oh, come on! All
right. I want three.
Yeah,
three.
Yeah,
I'm listening. Listen up, soldier.
Sergeant.
Soldier.
Yeah.
I want three sergeants.
Okay. Sergeant Rock.
Sergeant Rock.
Sergeant Fury.
He's solid like a rock.
Solid like a rock.
Sergeant Fury.
And Sergeant Slaughter.
He's a wrestler.
he was in a comic.
He was? I'm not counting that.
Okay. Okay, Sergeant. I don't know. Sergeant Pepper. Lonely and his Lonely Heart Club's band.
Sergeant Steel.
Right.
Sergeant Steel. All right, Chris.
Okay.
I want you to name me nine captains.
I knew. Okay. Captain America.
Well, not nine. Five will do.
Okay. Well, hold on. Captain, you have nine?
No.
Oh.
Five. Captain America is one.
Captain America.
Good job, by the way.
Captain Adam.
Captain Adam is another one.
Captain
Beefheart sang Zappa song, so you can't use him.
Captain Crunch.
Can't use him.
Captain.
Good cereal, though. Liquid sugar.
Captain Lonely Heart. Captain
Antonil.
Captain Antonil. Oh, that's a good
love
one. Yeah.
Will keep us together.
Captain Steubing from Love Boat.
Oh, I love the Love Boat. Shining and new.
Shiny and new. Okay, Captain
my God. Okay, you've got Captain America.
Yeah, I got Captain
you've
Adam.
You've got Captain Adam.
Yeah, those are the two big ones.
You've done the two A's.
Okay.
There's a certain little captain up north of the 49th parallel that you
Captain
might...
Canuck.
Good.
There you go.
God.
Captain Canuck. Captain...
In the words James Brown, good God.
Who else is there? Captain A.B. Captain
Ahab.
Captain Ahab. There you go.
He's not a captain.
He was in Moby Dick. In
oh,
the...
Moby Dick?
In the classics comics.
What kind of dick?
Okay. What else? Captain. I don't know. What else? Give me.
How about this new movie coming out from the Marvel Universe?
Captain Marvel.
Whoa! Hey. I don't know where you pulled that one out of,
hey,
Chris.
Good
That's
one.
Pretty
good one. Yeah.
How about that villain in Rogue's Gallery of? I don't know. Some speedster in the DC Universe.
Oh, Captain Boomerang.
Sure. How about that other villain?
Captain Cold.
Oh, man, you are on fire. Get it?
On fire.
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold, yeah.
And how about that lame-ass 80s comic that had the, weird-shaped head captain.
Weird-shaped head captain.
It was elongated. Bugs Bunny would have loved it. Bugs Bunny loves this guy.
Bugs Bunny
is in love with this captain.
Okay,
Bugs Bunny wants to marry. If he doesn't want to marry this captain, Chris, he wants to eat this captain for sure.
Captain Carrot. Captain Carrot and his zoo crew.
My God. Why? You got that one pretty quick.
Totally.
And
last, I got last one. Captain. Wait, I think I know this one.
I got one more though.
Okay,
our man Danny Champ's favorite captain.
I say Captain Underpants.
Well, that may be Danny Champ's main captain. I don't know. But I'm assuming he likes Captain Britain.
Oh, Captain Britain, right. My yes, God. Yes. Oh, and there's also, I just had it. I just lost it. Captain Planet.
Sure.
There was a Captain Planet.
Of course there was.
Yeah, there was a Captain Planet. That was Captain when the Earth was going to get all, during the Earth movement.
That was way more exhausting than I thought.
Hey, I did pretty good.
Oh, you did great. You were like a fire just about to start.
I know,
and
right?
All it took to light you up was a match and like 2 gallons of kerosene.
All right,
why don't we?
Oh,
yeah. We need a rest.
That was a tough one. You know, why do you gotta give me such difficult quizzes all the time? Like, you know, I know I like to say I'm a historian, but I'm really not, eh? Like,
I did pretty good there.
All right. Listen, let's, what are we going to do here? Let's
play. Give me a tune.
A bouncy tune? Let's do this one. This is the Black Pearl.
Chris, wait. That was from Star Wars for sure.
Well, I even said is the Black Pearl from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh.
I figured with captains, water,
I thought of, you know. Okay, I wasn't paying attention to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I know. Story of my life there. It's fine.
Chris, that's wonderful, though. It's a good piece of music.
Good piece of music. All right, listen, you know what? Let's continue on with the second half of Industry News.
And the second half of Industry News, part trois, is brought to us by
Hold on. Time out. Beep, beep, beep. So the second half of Industry News is part trois.
This is actually the third. Okay, get a grip.
Okay, sorry.
This is actually the third segment of Industry News, so it's technically not a half. Captain.
Okay. But I said it was the second half.
So I'm supposed to cover your tracks?
You said second half. I don't remember.
I
have to view the tape.
All right.
Anyways.
Hey, where were we? Oh, yeah. The second half of part three of Industry News is brought to us by Elijah Craig Club Soda. It's Han Solo's favorite club soda.
Nice.
For sure. All right.
For sure. He told us.
Chris, I wanted to talk to you about an exciting event going on down at that place, Comic Connect.
Comic Connect, yes.
.com.
They do auctions.
They got one going on right now.
Yeah.
Now, auctions are common events.
Sure.
They happen every moment.
Every moment.
Between the big ones, Comic Link, yep. Comic Connect, Heritage Auctions. You know, eBay auctions are, you know, daily.
Yeah.
There's a few others. Hakes, Americana.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of places you can go and find something that's a comic book that's being auctioned any moment of the day.
Right. There's 24/7,
365.
Yep, for sure.
Right? But this Comic Connect one for me is special because I've always been a kind of a bit of a sci-fi fan.
Yeah.
And back in the golden age of comics, there was always a title I was kind of partial to, though it was never worth any money.
Right.
Right? And those were those great Planet comics. Do you remember those?
I love those. I have a couple of those myself.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, you and I were buying ones up, the covers that we liked five, 7, 8 years ago. You can buy them for $100
Yeah.
Or, you know, great golden age.
Yeah. And in decent shape, too.
In half decent shape, right. Yeah. And, well, a lot of that stuff has been exploding in value over the last year or so as the market moves toward cover-based value.
Right.
So the market's really centering on covers right now, right?
Yes.
And so even within a run like the Planet, where it's all kind of sci-fi stories, and you know, there may be a few issues along the way that introduces a character that's going to continue on with other stories in that run, whether you know, and those always got noted as first appearance of whoever,
sure,
and then, you know, but generally speaking, I'm just going to throw out a number. Let's say 1 in 4.
Yeah.
For Planet, let's say 1 in 3.
Yeah.
Covers just stand out.
Oh, absolutely.
You
know? Yeah.
You get an okay cover, then you go, whoa, look at this cover.
I would almost say it's more than that, but I could be wrong. There are some amazing covers in the run of Planet. You know, well, there's not a lot of Golden Age runs that I would say have as many amazing covers as Planet does,
right. And so what happened in the old days as these comics were grouped, let's say in the price guide, you know, let's say issue 31 to 40 all had like a $200 price sticker on
right
it, whatever,
right yep,
right
yep.
And so old-time dealers would have, you know, $150 on each of them if they were in not perfect shape, or whatever. But what happened over the years is you'd always be missing issue number 34 for some reason.
Right.
And you'd always be missing issue number 39 for some reason or whatever, It wasn't random. Those issues were always missing.
Right. Hard to find.
Hard to find because people grab, if a guy had a run of Planets, people would gravitate toward those really cool covers.
Right.
Well, that's really so amplified right now that some of the best covers in Planet really do command a premium over the issues around it.
Sure.
Right? And what's special about this Comic Connect auction, it has the almost complete run of the Mile High run of the Planets.
Right.
Now,
right.
You want to explain what the Mile High run to the people is, or do you want me to?
I'll let you do it. Now, other than telling you that it's a pedigree, so basically this guy found a whole bunch of comics.
Chuck Rosansky,
who founded Mile High Comics, and he found all these comics, and there weren't just Planet comics. There's a whole everything.
Almost everything in the Golden
everything
Age.
Everything in the
almost
Golden
everything
Age.
Everything complete in the
Golden Age. So he had them, what they call, it's now become a pedigree, because they're all in super high quality
Unheard of shape.
So
I
now,
would say, sorry, so
you, go ahead,
train
ahead.
Of thought. I would say, on average, and I'm throwing this number out there for all you comic historians, you obviously could disprove me wrong, but I'm going to use the number 80%. I would say 80% of the Mile High issues end up being the top graded copy that exists.
Yes, I agree. I would agree with that.
Something like that.
Yep.
So any random issue, the Mile High issue will be the best existing copy.
Yeah.
Great. Now, every now and then, you know, just the way they're stored or the way some, you know, there's a tear in some of them and they may be the second or third because there's some other pedigrees that have it. But by far, the Mile High collection was the most extensive pedigree collection, the highest grade pedigree collection, the largest, the highest quality pedigree collection.
Yeah.
By far.
So
by
now.
Like exponentially above the second place.
So the only thing I don't know is, did one person own all this? Because if it's all going to auction, like, did one person now own the whole thing and he's now...
These Planets, they did.
Right.
So what Chuck Rosansky did, because he basically lived out of his car to pay for this stuff.
Yeah.
He would sell blocks of them at unheard of prices back in 1979, like $20 a piece or something like that. What are you, crazy? You know, the price guy says 10 and you want 20.
The price guy says 5 and you want 20.
Right. Yeah. So blocks of them were sold to private hands.
Yep.
So he can finance it.
Yeah. Right?
And so obviously somebody has held the Mile High Planets for a long time.
Crazy.
And the interesting part about it is they've, if you notice the pictures, now you guys can't see the pictures. You guys can't see the pictures, but I'm showing Chris a lot of the pictures of the Mile Highs.
Yeah.
And almost all of them are the old, original, very first CGC label. So
right.
the collector that had these comics basically kept them in their raw state until CGC came along, and then he or she sent them all down to get encapsulated at once.
Right.
It was what it looks like. And you're getting like just nosebleed grades, like number one, a 9.4 from 1940.
It's crazy.
There's 9.6s, there's 9.8s. It's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And they're all up on auction, and they all close December 12th.
Yeah.
And there's, what I like is the excitement and buzz in the collecting community around this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is just...
It's enormous. I mean, to see the quality, the number of books at this kind of quality all at once up for auction is crazy. I mean, they're beautiful books, and they've got, you know, number one up, basically. And, you know, it's just fascinating to see. I mean, you and I were talking before the show, and I said, well, what's number one probably going to sell for? And I said, like, what, 20,000? You said probably more like 60,000.
Yeah, or 80.
Or 80, like, right. Who knows, right?
Yeah. We'll report after the 12th on what it did sell for, if you remind me.
Yes, we should. We should do that.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
As a collector, do you want, what's best for this Mile High Planet run? Do you want money bags, Joe Blow, the guy, maybe the person that bought that amazing collection a while ago? I forget the collection. There's a person with just more money than he or she needs.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want them to buy every one of these and just run up the price so they're all together?
Yeah, you know.
Or do you want that one person out of the equation, and then it's just me against you, against our neighbor or against our buddy, and then the whole collection is dispersed in, like, there's, I'm guessing there's, let's say there's roughly 60 of the 70 some odd copies,
yeah,
or 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they go to 30 different homes?
I would rather see that. As much as I would like to see one guy have the whole thing, I'd rather see people get a chance at all of them, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It'd just be nice to see.
I think I'm with you. I think I'd like a copy of this, and then, you know, another one, and I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Hey, anybody, don't bid on. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you going to bid on any of them?
I have one issue that I want to bid on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell anybody what it is.
Tell me later.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
But I'm excited about it, and it's a pretty cool thing, and it's just it's pumped me up about collecting comics, which is what it should be.
Absolutely. Right? Well, you know what? We've run out of time, Walt.
Oh! All right. Well, hey, I should tell everybody the comic culture is on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and we podcast at comicbookdaily.com. Head down on the podcast link and please add your comments to the comments field. We encourage everybody to go out and support your local comic book shop.
Have yourself a great day.